Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Whoop, whoop! So we do know what it's going to look like. We know who's staying in which hotel and the protocols for cleaning the ping pong paddles and where you can go to eat and what wristband you need to go over here and what you need to do to go over there inside of Disney World. The NBA released a 100-page document on the protocols. What we don't know is who's actually going to go, because Kyrie Irving, guys, is trying to convince people not to go. He's trying to convince people not to go because he feels that the momentum of where we are right now in the movement, the Black Lives Matter movement, that there is eyeballs on this issue for the first time in a serious way, and he doesn't want to sacrifice that. That's an interesting conversation. And then Kyrie Irving did what Kyrie Irving did, and then apparently, according to some reports, proposed that they start their own league, and not necessarily just as a response to the bubble situation, but rather he thinks they need their own league. I can't come up with something that would be a more perfect example of Kyrie Irving being Kyrie Irving than that, in hijacking his own message.
You start your own league. Okay. Starting your own league obviously takes a lot. You got to, first of all, it starts with somebody being able and capable enough to run a league, to know how to put the league together. Secondly, economically, you've got to have the financial backing as such that it's going to carry you to a point of no return. You can't have a league with only $200 million. You're going to have a league with like $500 billion. You know, you're going to have a league with some crazy money invested into it, because not only do you have to pay the players and the employees, you also have to give yourself a runway, because sponsors aren't going to sign up immediately and start paying money. You got to have to get television rights and all the other things that go with it. It's a dream and a cute idea, but at the end of the day, why even bring it up when you know it's not going to happen? I mean, when you know it's not going to happen. We watch other leagues try these sort of things, whether it's football, whether it's certain soccer, whether it's, you know, basketball. We've watched it, and it's gone nowhere.
His biggest issue isn't the idea of starting a league. That's not the biggest issue. The biggest issue is typically what happens when a successful splintering off happens is because the home base isn't welcoming to you, and you can convince people to follow your path.
Right.
If you think about what some of these record labels were confronted with in the early days, right? People are like, man, you crazy starting your own record label. Man, they're not going to let you do that. You need money. You need this. You need that. The reason why there's a Def Jam and the reason why there's a Bad Boys record isn't because it wasn't hard. It's because they weren't being served, and they were providing an area where they could be served. That's what led to the success. It wasn't the fact that there wasn't a mountain to climb. It's just they had people to climb the mountain with.
But you do understand,
that's not what's going on in the NBA.
But you do understand music and sports teams, we're talking about two different things. We're talking about however many employees to run a league versus a handful on a small label that grows. You can't start professional sports small and grow. You got to go in head first, all in.
All the sports started small and grew. They didn't start off at the gate where they are right now. The NFL started small. The NBA started small. Baseball started small and grew. All leagues do that.
They started small and grew in 100 years. But you're talking about, you're asking players in the NBA, you're asking the top players to leave.
I'm not asking.
No, not you per se, but you're, okay. I'll say it this way. You're advocating, LZ.
The LZ NBA.
No. Yeah, I'll switch it up into journalism 101 on you. You're advocating for players to leave the NBA, something that they and foundation has put together to leave the NBA to go to a new startup league for what? To watch it grow?
Are these not two separate arguments, guys?
First of all, I'm not advocating for a splintering
of the league. Well, I just did what you do in journalism. Twist the words.
I'm just explaining the rationale. But the bigger point that I want to make before we move on, Travis, is the simple fact that we shouldn't be talking about this anyway.
That's
this
the point.
This is a distraction from the real conversation. Yeah,
that's the point, LZ, that I was going to say. That there's the conversation about what would make an alternate league go. That is an incredibly complex situation that involves all the things that you're talking about, Key. The money, the desire, the having enough players to the real players to go over here and say, we're going to make a run at something different than what they're doing over here. That's a conversation that we could have a million different times, a million different ways. The conversation that Kyrie Irving wanted to have, I thought, was, hey, let's not rush back to Orlando because we have some momentum on this issue. Let's not rush back to Orlando because there's some work that needs to be done here. There's some attention being paid to a cause that we care dearly about. For the first time ever, people that are actually capable of helping us are listening to us. Let's not blow this. And now we're talking about an alternate league. He torpedoed his own message, which was a good message. Wasn't getting a ton of traction because he is who he is. Wasn't getting a ton of traction because Kyrie Irving is kind of an oddball, a guy that just, you know, is an eye roll machine when he starts talking. And then he did it to himself by hijacking his own issue. That's the thing that is just so weird to me, is that he took his own issue and flushed it down the toilet by coming up with a different issue.
So is Kyrie, and I don't know Kyrie at all, but is he the type of guy who starts something but never finishes and moves on to something else? Is that his kind of personality? Because it seems like in basketball, I started in Cleveland, I didn't like it, I got to move on. I started in Boston, I didn't like it, I got to move. You know, it just seems like that.
I don't know if that's the right barometer, because there's all sorts of factors that goes into why you want to stay or go away with a team. But I will say his movie was his idea. It's based on a character that he created, and he saw the movie all the way through until, you know, obviously it was being released. That, I think, is more of a better example about his willingness to stick to it, because it takes a lot to get a movie done. As far as leaving a team, there's all kinds of reasons why you want to stick with a team or leave a team and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But again, none of that really matters. What really matters is about the mission and the people in the street still. What really matters is whether or not he can use his status to leverage the net or the NBA to make real sound investments in the anti-racism movement. And there are other men who have echoed his initial thoughts about being a distraction. Kyle Korver right now is saying, you know what? This is an important moment right now. And if guys think it's best that we don't play because they want to stay focused on the moment, I will support that. I will join that. You're hearing more and more. Avery Bradley with the Lakers, something very similar. Like, we can't lose focus of this moment. And I think what's important, that what Kyrie was able to do, he may not get his league, he may not get enough people to say we're not going to Orlando, but what he did was give a heads up to the NBA that we're not letting this die. He gives a hands up to the fans, we're not letting this die, that we know what could happen if we're not careful, so we're going to be careful. There are going to be patches that may say I can't breathe on the jersey. You may see demonstrations. You know, you're going to be continually reminded of where this movement is right now. And I want to give Kyrie some credit for pointing out what could have been a pitfall, which is a distraction.
Do you think that the NBA and LeBron James and whomever else is the leaders of the NBA was going to let the message fall with the NBA? Because it certainly seems like it's been a long time since a message has fell with the NBA, with LeBron James and certain in Steph Curry's and KD's and Harden's been involved.
I don't think it's necessarily that it would fall. I think it's that maybe it would be diluted a little bit, that because we're talking about, hey, the Lakers won their opening game against Memphis, or hey, the Clippers, they lost their opener. Are they in trouble? We'd start talking about basketball as opposed to society.
But we just said the other day that LeBron James is not going to let that happen. So either we believe LeBron's not going to let it happen, or
it's not whether or not LeBron's going to let it happen. It's where our attention is naturally going to be drawn to.
Of course, it's not about LeBron, but by all means, LeBron James is the face of the NBA. And
of course he is.
Certainly said that this message is not going to be lost based on me going to play basketball.
And I believe that LeBron would do everything in his power to make that true. The point that I'm trying to make is that even if LeBron is addressing this after every single game, even if LeBron continues to push as hard as he possibly can on this issue, if there are games being played, we're going to talk about the games as well. We're not going to dismiss the other topic, but we're going to add another topic to the table, which means, you know, we have 4 hours a day. SportsCenter has an hour. That all of these different shows, we have a finite amount of time. And if we're spending 100% of our time on this one issue, it gets 100% of our attention. Whereas if we've got games, you know, maybe we split it 50-50. We're talking 50%. Hey, who won last night? Who had a big game? Who's not shooting the ball well? Which coach made a mistake? And 50% justice.
Playing the game will allow the players to use those platforms over the next 3 months, like Mark Spears said, to push that message. If you're no longer on that platform, that's a platform that reaches millions of people that is no longer in your wheelhouse. Therefore, it's gone. The only thing that you now have is depending on the local media and your social media to push the message.
But, Key, if the players don't play, that's a story. That is a story, too. Like that notion, like the main reason why I disagree with Charles Barkley is because he made it seem like it was the 1980s. And that if Magic and Bird and Isaiah and him and Dr. J and stuff weren't playing basketball, no one cared about the NBA. That's not where we are today. Yes, there's social media platforms, but a league not play for the moment is a huge news story.
It is a huge news story, but me as a player, I'd rather have both platforms. I'd rather have it where you got to come to me, you got to pay attention to me playing, and oh, by the way, I got all this over here to send the message as well, too.
Yeah, of course.
I'm with you, too. When I was on CNN yesterday, and I was asked directly what I thought the NBA players should do, and I said I thought they should play, and I gave my rationales why. I'm in full support of the players coming back. All I'm doing is saying what Kyrie has done was point a spotlight to an issue that could occur if we aren't careful, if they aren't careful. And I'm glad that he did.
There's only so many things that we can talk about at any given time. If there's no basketball, we'll fill it with the other stuff. And the other stuff is what's important right now. The other stuff is what Kyrie is saying we need to focus on. If there's nothing else to do, even if when we go back to basketball and every player, every coach in the league is saying, we want to make sure that we address this issue after every game, in every press conference, in every, you know, whether it's a patch or a t-shirt or whatever, even if they do that to the maximum, they do it in every single thing, we're going to talk about the games as well. Not instead of, but as well. And so every time you add an as well, every minute you talk about, hey, you know, KCP had a bad shooting night, that's a minute less that you're talking about the issues at hand. This is why I think that Kyrie's point was such an interesting one, because it's a really compelling topic. It's a really compelling argument. It's just the wrong dude to be making it, because he's easily dismissed.
Yes.
He's easily dismissed as kind of a weirdo, as an oddball, whatever you want to call him. Look, his teammates almost universally have not liked him. I'm sure he's got friends in the league, and I'm not saying he's dumb. What I'm saying is the Celtics players could not get him out of that locker room fast enough. The Cleveland Cavaliers did not seem to be hell-bent on keeping him. There were reports basically from the moment he showed up in Brooklyn, like, this guy over here, are you kidding me? I mean, from the time he comes in, he's the guy that makes people roll their eyes. The message is fantastic. The messenger, maybe not the right guy.
He just doesn't understand his own brain.
Yeah.
That's all.
You want to be like Mike? Well, you're going to have to put in some work. I'll tell you what you need to do to be like the other Mike. That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right. So this is the other Mike. This is Mike Tyson.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay. you guys may know who this is. I do not know who this is. Do you guys know YouTuber Will Tennyson by chance? You know who that is?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Kids know him.
It's a unanimous bonk bonk for us, but he's trying to train like Mike. He's trying to eat about 4,000 calories a day and do all the training techniques that he did. He's running at 4 o'clock in the morning. He's eating a massive breakfast in vitamins. He's doing 10 rounds of sparring each day for a couple of minutes, 45 seconds, I should say, of rest in between, 2,000 squats, 500 tricep extensions, 500 push-ups, 500 shoulder shrugs with 65 pounds, and 500 neck crunches. Can either one of you guys get through a workout like that at this point, like tomorrow morning? Could you knock that out?
Let me process this again. 2,000 squats? No. So,
yes.
Tricep 500 triceps
over the course of the day?
Yeah. Yeah, you get the day to do it. You don't have to do it.
I could do it over the course of the day.
Yeah.
500 push-ups, 500 shrugs, 500 neck crushes, crunches, 500 triceps, run 4 miles, box 10 rounds, and do all of the calisthenics.
No. I don't know about the boxing. No.
Everything else I might be able to do. Box 10 rounds.
Yeah, I don't know about the box 10 rounds. I don't know about the boxing stuff, but everything else I'll be able to do for sure. Yeah.
Because the boxing is a part of this.
Well, then no. If you want to,
I couldn't. 10 rounds?
You know, 10 rounds.
You know,
I'm not pretending that I can do it. I wouldn't.
But how many minutes a round? Wait, how many minutes is it around?
Well, he's boxing for 2 minutes per round. A real fight, like a professional fight, the rounds are 3 minutes. So are 2 minute rounds.
I'm gonna get through the first round and fight my way through the second round. But by the time you get to the third round, and you get about 30 seconds into the third round, it's a wrap. You know that thing gonna seem long. You know, ooh, it looked long.
It's so crazy. Like 10 rounds? Like that by itself, I could do 10 rounds cobbled together over the course of a day. You know,
around every hour, of course.
I could do that.
One part of this workout that I could do in my sleep. There's one part of this workout that is
eat
like
the 4,000 calories.
Exactly right.
Ding, ding.
Exactly right. If you want me to eat 4,000, I mean, I think I might be on the training path already. If all it takes is 3,000 to 4,000 calories a day, I'm good, man. I can knock that out. All I got to do is go to the bar and get some nachos and some wings and knock back a few IPAs, and I'm halfway home.
It's so funny because, like I know if you follow boxing, you know how hard it is to box just from a cardiovascular perspective. But if you really follow boxing, you hear 10 rounds, you don't really understand just how much energy that requires.
Man, I don't need to box.
That is a serious workout.
I don't need to box to know. I was a professional athlete. I know how long the football field is, and I know how big and wide and long the basketball court is. And I know when you're running up and down that, it ain't fun. And I can only imagine being in the ring and dancing around and moving your arms and your legs and doing all those sort of things and punching and getting punched. And now you got to go 10 rounds. Man, you're going to wear your ass out.
I just want to make sure that we don't gloss over a part. You mentioned it, Key. You mentioned it, but I just think that it's not just dancing around. It's not just throwing punches. It's not just being able to make – it's trying to avoid getting turned unconscious during this entire process that adds a whole other element to it. It's not just that, okay, I got to keep my hands up for 2 minutes and throw punches, which is exhausting, but it's rather I got to make sure that I don't get turned off by this other guy.
And drop them hands. You drop them hands. Bam! It's over. Crap. I mean, it's like people don't realize though when you doing stuff like that, you know, just working out, doing football acclimated things, running the cones, doing the ladders. Man, your feet and your arms are pumping and moving, and you're not even doing it for 2 and 3 minutes. You go up and back. That's that might be 20 seconds, up and back real quick, and you're tired and you're in top tip shape. It's just it ain't easy, man. It no way. That's why when people poke fun at Mike Tyson about getting back into shape, like he's determined to get into boxing shape. That determination that he has and is instilled in his brain has that switch has clicked again, and he's going to whether he gets knocked out in the second round or whatever the case may be, or he knocks somebody out in the second round. He's not a guy that you want to be in the ring with when that switch turns on. I promise you that. Who you are.
I don't give a damn how old he is. Oh, Raj. I remember doing a story on basketball trading, and I went and I did a CBA tryout way back in the day when the CBA was still around. They were trying out regular guys, And so I did a story on it. Now, remember, I'm in my 20s. Listen, so I'm in my 20s, and I'm thinking, you know, I still ball all the time. I'm good. And, man, we started doing those wind sprints, and I'm looking around. I'm like, where we hooping?
That's what I'm saying, man. Y'all don't be understanding.
I didn't come out here for all this.
Man, I'm telling you, I remember this was in 1998. We came back off of training, off season conditioning, getting ready for training camp. So we go to training camp. First thing prior to taking the field, we had our conditioning test. Now, the conditioning test is gassers, 50 across, 50 back. You know, it's one. I think we did it four times, and we had to obviously do it with the stopwatch and the clock time and everything. And then after that, we got to go practice for 3 hours. You know how tired and legs and that blood flow? Man, dudes, I'm like, come on, man. Y'all really think these dudes going to give you anything today in practice? Come on, seriously? After they just wore you out, they expect for you to just go roll right out and practice and catch balls and run routes.
I didn't hit a shot. We got done with those wind sprints and stuff, and then the ball came out. Shoot, man.
It feels like a cannonball.
I didn't have a leg to first.
No, you didn't have a leg. And that's like guys as pure shooters. People are like, oh, man, he a pure shooter, man. He got the wrist. Damn the wrist. Look at
his legs. He's got the legs. His lift.
And how many times you think he got to do that in a day when he's practicing? 200, 300 shots a day?
At least.
On top of all the other stuff.
Yeah. Raj, am I going to go back-to-back? Do we have any early results to the poll?
Well, Travis, it's very early. But, of course, we were reacting to a study that revealed 36 active alien civilizations in our galaxy may be trying to contact Earth. So we did a snake draft on it. Of course, your favorite alien. And
It's a snake draft.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Keisha. And early results have LZ in the lead with 51% of the vote. I think
what?
The steal of the draft, the number 12 pick in Yoda, gearing people in that direction because I thought Travis had a strong draft there.
Yoda is a nice pick. There's no question that LZ did a good
better
job
than
taking
E.T.
Yoda. But and E.T. is a good pick. But both of you guys have a couple of things on here that, like, Mork? Come on, Mork's not one of the great aliens of all time.
Let's say I would say his 51%
didn't even know how to
vote.
Pick the alien from Aliens. At least all four of mine.
But here's your problem. Travis, because you sitting up there doing exactly what you would do, or they would do, is talk negative about what I've picked. Concentrating on what I've done, trying to send the message to the people. Don't pick Keyshawn because he didn't pick right.
No, I had to tell you what two of your picks were. I had to inform you which two of your picks. You didn't know the alien or the Avatar guys. I had to let you know.
It's a snake draft. Well, there's a lot of people that win a lot of things around here that don't know a lot of stuff.
Travis, you have to remember.
Yeah.
Mork from Mork and Mindy, you know, he was the first alien for a whole generation of people. You have to remember that. Followed by Superman. Venom is for the new people because Venom is a relatively new movie and it was dope. And then Yoda is just for all people. See what you've done, my friend. If I'm allowed to break down what you've accomplished.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
So you've cobbled together four names that already hits one generation of people. All your picks are old. You have nothing that's really up to date.
Well, that's
and
not
it's
true.
Not spread out.
That's not true.
It's not spread out.
Much like the 80th birthday party you had to go to, Travis.
Chewbacca is very current. They're still making Star Wars movies. They're still making Star Trek movies in the Klingons. They are not just of my generation. They are of multiple generations across the board. Alf is of my generation. I will give you that. Much like Mork is of your generation and from the late 70s and early 80s. Predator, I guarantee you there's a lot of people that know what that the Predator is. That's
one
of the
Predator's a solid pick, but again, E.T.
You just lost
sequel,
some votes from talking. I'm watching results right now. You just lost some votes just trying to sell your team.
Greatest movie of all time. Greatest movie of all times. You could still show it to your kids to this day, even though it was made in 1982. Come on, man.
That's right. And for those who still want to vote, you got about a day left to do it. You can go to ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed and cast your
all
vote.
All the famous actors coming out of each.
Back to back. It's going to happen. All right. We're talking about Kyrie Irving hijacking his own message. And there's another NBA player that's telling him, dude, you need to stop. You'll hear him next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
It's a snake trap.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
So you guys think Mike Gundy woke up this morning, flipped on the TV, and saw that his apology is still the topic of the day, that his T-shirt is still the topic of the day, and had that, this is not going away. This is gaining some momentum. I'm cooked. Is that what he's thinking right now?
Yeah, no, because they've already prepped him. President of the university, athletic director's already said to him, you know, this thing has got to calm down. If it doesn't calm down, then, Mike, I don't know where it's going to go. And he just woke up this morning, and he's just like, damn. And if he's married, his wife probably was like, damn. And I'm sure his kids are probably like, damn. His brother's probably like, damn. His agent is certainly like, damn, don't worry about it. It'll blow over. This stuff always happens. That's what's going on.
Well, man, we'll see.
First of all, I'm pretty sure Dabo Sweeney is sending him a check. Thank you. Thank you. Because this momentum you feeling, that was coming from me. That was going to come from me. But you came out with this T-shirt, and now and you messed up the apology. So now, you know, all the attention's on you. All I got to do is sit back and not say nothing and just let you take all the heat.
And well, Nick Saban probably putting a plan together to sabotage both of them. You know. he probably sit back waiting to just put a plan together. It's sabotage. I'm telling you, he's putting a plan together to sabotage both of them. He's going to let you know he used to have a black offensive coordinator in Loxie, who's now the head coach in Maryland.
He's going to be wearing Steve a Black Sarkisian Lives Matter t-shirt.
He got Steve Sarkisian. Wait, no, he got Steve Sarkisian now, who's a minority. So he's probably – he's sitting – you know he's sitting back plotting.
Well, maybe Mike Gundy is hoping that Kyrie will talk again, because Kyrie has, the last couple of days, has managed to – put himself in the middle of it. I want you guys to take a listen to Matt Barnes, who's basically telling Kyrie to stand down.
So we can't let this go. Like LeBron and CP, Kyrie needs to quit bull, because what I heard was Kyrie wanted to go to Orlando to support his team. They didn't let him. So then he flipped the script talking about, I'm going to give up everything. Bro, you can give up everything and go do the Meyer Moore if you really want to. But at the same time, sitting out without a cause or a purpose defeats the purpose, and then it also divides us. You know what I mean? So they all got to get on the same page, open up that communication, and understand the moment. And I know the people at the top of the movement understand it, but everyone else has to buy. And I respect people don't want to play because if it's COVID and you're putting your family at risk, I get that. But if it's for the movement of the country right now, we have to take charge of this.
Okay, so at the beginning of that, I think, is the key part, where he says, look, Kyrie was all about going until he realized he wasn't going to go, until he realized he wasn't going to play. And this is the essence of Kyrie's problem. Kyrie's message is pretty good. Like you said, if you want to go be about this like Maya Moore. Good for you. Go do it. But if you are about this because you can't go, or you're about this because you're afraid that it's going to get lost, we're not going to let that happen. You are blowing this thing by constantly talking about this. It's hypocritical. That's why this is a mess, because of who's saying it.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, players like Kendrick Perkins, as well as Barnes right there, will tell you how they feel about the way Kyrie is approaching the whole situation. You start off by saying you want to go support your team, but the moment that the NBA pushed back on people going that's not playing, you want to try to hijack the whole NBA, which isn't going to happen. But you also are sending a mixed message and getting in the way of what is about to transpire. And that's the way I feel.
And listen, at the end of the day, no one's really, really following Kyrie, you know, for a variety of reasons. What they're doing is they heard what he had to say, and they sent some validity to it. And there is some validity to it because the very nature of sports is designed to distract people. The very nature of sports is to provide a distraction for people. So he's not wrong in suggesting that there could be some distractions from them playing, because that's what they're supposed to be doing, distracting you. He's not wrong in that at all. And that's a good conversation to have. But it's a good conversation to have so that you know how not to let the moment get away from us. Because you know Ebola didn't get cured, guys. I don't know if you knew this or not. The Ebola disease did not go. It did not get cured. We just stopped talking about it. The Flint water situation that used to be on every news channel for 24 hours a day, they still drinking better, y'all. They didn't fix the pipes.
But LZ.
We just started focusing in on other things.
But
so if you're not careful, if you're not careful, Keith, you can end up focusing in on other things, which is the point that kind
of let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, though. Was it tens of millions of people focused in on the Flint water? Or was it just people within the region?
Yes.
So many people.
It was tens of millions.
It was as many people as focusing in on what we're doing and where we at now in the world for Flint water, the same type of people. I mean, millions of different diversity all over the world. No, it wasn't.
You did not see people. You did not see people marching in the streets globally the way you do today. That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
But it was viewed and witnessed, and it was on constant television.
Yes, it was. It was
millions of Americans.
Yes, you're right. It was.
Were watching it.
It was viewed and it was witnessed, but it was not viewed and witnessed as where we are today. And I'll hammer it home, and I'll continue to say it. Wasn't nobody in Utah caring about no water in Michigan, in Wyoming, in Montana? They weren't thinking about that. They were not thinking about that. So
I think you're conflating not thinking about it with the fact that there's nothing else to do. And because there's nothing else to do, there are no sports on television. There's no concerts.
Well,
your bars are barely being open. And so this moment in time that you're talking about, it is about this moment, but you can't underestimate what this pandemic has done to help improve the situation in terms of people being aware and feeling committed to doing something. You can't underestimate
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. It has contributed to the eyeballs paying attention to what's going on in the streets. There's no question about it. But at the same time, those numbers are so severe that you can't, even if it was sports that was going on, it ain't going to take away that many people from where we at and where we've grown to.
That's the part that I think Kyrie, I don't know if he misses it. Maybe he underestimated it, that just because you're going back doesn't mean that it goes away. I hear what you're saying, LZ, about the Flint water example that you used. That feels like the second we found the next thing that we were preoccupied with, that we kind of forgot about that and we moved on to it and we stopped paying attention to that the way that we were previously. But this one, it doesn't feel like – put it to this way. I just don't think that when the NBA goes back and all of a sudden there are games, there's no question that we're going to talk about the games, but we're going to continue to talk about Black Lives Matter. We're going to continue to talk about social justice. We're going to continue to talk about an anti-racism campaign. We're going to continue to talk about police brutality. We're going to continue to talk about all these things. In addition to that, Kyrie, by bringing this up, and I understand that maybe his intentions were good, that he was trying to make sure that we don't do it, but he didn't think it through, that this was going to happen anyway, that we're going to continue to talk about it anyway, and now we're talking about Kyrie. Now we're not talking about the issue. We're talking about Kyrie and him being hypocritical at times. We're talking about Kyrie being weird at times.
Think about it, LZ.
But we don't have to talk. We don't have to talk about Kyrie. We chose to.
LZ.
We chose to. We don't have to talk about Kyrie. We are part of the problem that he pointed out. You see what I'm saying? Very well could have looked at the subject matter and said, we could have looked at this the way we look at hockey. We don't talk about hockey.
But I think the Kyrie situation,
we don't talk about it.
I think the Kyrie conversation is so short-lived, though, LZ. It was a conversation yesterday, then he came back out with something different, so that brought up another conversation. But I don't think it's going to continue to grow on Kyrie. And as far as losing the message, as crazy as it may sound, but you know it's facts, is the message ain't going to get lost. because them fools are still out there in the streets doing wrong with police brutality. They still, even though we doing all what we doing in light of everything and everybody got phones and cameras and this and that, they still out there acting up. And I'm, what I mean by acting up, I'm talking about the police. And that's what I'm talking about. They still out there acting up. You still having things happen in Atlanta, like people being gunned down in parking lots. You still got the situation in Palmdale where all of a sudden your city halls, fire departments, police departments, all sorts of stuff, but nobody ain't got no footage. All of a sudden you ain't got no camera. So it's still, we still are fighting that even when the NBA come back, we still going to be having those type of conversations because we still believe that this stuff is still going to be happening.
All right, we'll continue this conversation, all parts of this conversation, with Amin El Hassan, ESPN NBA insider, joins us next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, as promised, you know who's coming. You know whose song that is. Amin El Hassan, ESPN front office insider, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Good morning, Amin. How are you?
Why can't I have a cool song? I just think about it. Like, cool, why my song got to be a lilting ballad?
Look at me. Look at me. No more
I'm going
games.
To come out with a new single. I'm going to drop a new single. I'm probably going to partner with somebody, Amin. So don't worry. I've just been in a laboratory trying to figure out what I was going to do next. But me and Drake are working on something, and we'll have it for you in a minute. Just
and
hold
do
on.
You, and El, I mean, Amin, do you know where the Amin said came from? Like, do you know any backstory behind it?
Yeah, I know the backstory.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, like, we could have, you know, we could have upped the production value a bit. No?
Well, because every time you would get ready to come on, or every time there was a topic that would come up, the first thing George would say is, Amin said. It's like, okay, well, we get that Amin knows a little basketball. But damn. Speaking of knowing a little basketball, Amin, my man Kyrie Irving.
Oh.
So for one minute, I thought that he was, you know, done talking and doing some things, but he had yesterday or a day or so ago, he wanted to stop the NBA and basically have everybody, you know, do something and get back out into the streets and hold the NBA for a little bit. Then he came back out and he said, well, now he wants that to happen, but he also wants to start our own league of players and stuff. Now, one message said one thing, another message says another. Why not just stay on one message? How come he keeps, you know, moving around the track?
Well, Key, I'm going to put it to you like this. There's two conversations we can have. We can have a conversation about players wondering what they can do to make an impact or keep the momentum going with what's happening in the streets with millions of American citizens, right? That's one conversation. To me, I call that the Avery Bradley conversation. And then there's a conversation about Kyrie and ego and wanting credit for things. And that's a different conversation we can have about Kyrie specifically. So I ask you, do you want to have the Kyrie conversation? Or do you want to have the Avery Bradley conversation?
No, I want to have a Kyrie conversation.
Yes,
because I'm
right.
Trying to understand.
Exactly.
I'm trying to understand the Kyrie.
Yeah, let me put it to you this way. I mean, what is Kyrie's deal? You know, we've all got a deal. We've all got stuff that we're kind of quirky about. But it seems like this is a guy that other players in the league, we've seen Kendrick Perkins, Matt Barnes, and some others, just look at him like, dude, will you please stop? Why do players feel a certain way about him?
Because I think first and foremost, his track record shows he's a very mercurial guy, right? His mind jumps from one kind of topic or subject to another very quickly. Case in point. George Floyd was murdered May 26th. By the 28th and the 29th, people were protesting in the streets all across the country. By the 30th and the 31st, you had NBA players involved on a high-profile basis. You had Udonis Haslam speaking out in Miami. You had Jaylen Brown driving from Boston to Atlanta. You had Dennis Smith Jr. marching with J. Cole in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Like, players were involved. They knew this thing was serious. They knew they needed to speak out. They were involved. June 1st, June 2nd, most NBA teams are coming out with, statements and kind of things that they're going to do to help the cause, et cetera, et cetera. June 4th is when the league approves its 22-team format. June 5th, the Players Association approves that format. At no point between May 26th and June 5th did Kyrie feel like, man, we got to do something as players to speak up, and then we'll hold up on that plan to play in Orlando. We need to talk about this. This needs to be a priority. No, the reporting says he asked about, can I use the sauna? What about the league sponsors? Are they going to provide us with merch? And then, after all that has been decided, a week later, he's trying to get people on the horn and talk about Black Lives Matter. That doesn't mean that Black Lives Matter isn't a worthy topic. It doesn't mean that there aren't players who have done the legwork and the thought work and put their money where their mouth is on all of these issues. I'm telling you, that dude is using, or it would appear to be, he came to the realization late in the game, and maybe not for the reasons of being outraged about what's happening, and more so about how can I be different? How can I be anti-LeBron? How can I get some shine through this topic?
See, and that's what I was telling the guys. I said, it seems like to me, this is about a LeBron, about as much as LeBron as you could think of. Like it's almost like he's trying to get in the way of LeBron here. But you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Key, LZ, real quick. There were two calls. That was the call that everyone knows about happened on Friday. That was a bigger call.
Yeah, then there was a call when LeBron, not only that, he happened to be on.
There was a smaller call a few days before that had about 40 or 50 guys on it. And from my understanding, talking to two people who were on that call, the name LeBron came up a zillion times. LeBron ain't going to run this, and LeBron thinks he controls everything. That's how that dude was talking. The second call, not as much because there are more people, and also because Chris Paul and some of the, you know, quote unquote, some of the homies were there on the call. So it wasn't as big of a focus. But that first call, the name LeBron came up a lot. And to me, again, based on what I've heard and what I know, it feels like to me this is more about Kyrie's imaginary rivalry with LeBron than it does have to do with real issues. And which is why I say, do we want to talk about the Kyrie issue or the Avery Bradley issue? Because I think Avery Bradley represents players who actually do care about this and are going about this the right way.
I was going to say, and I'm glad you fleshed that out, because what I was going to say was I don't know what Kyrie's legitimate motivation was for speaking out at this particular time. All I know is the point is, which is, we need to be careful not to be so consumed with the games that you lose track of where we are in terms of the movement. To me, that's a valid discussion. And as soon as I heard who said it, as soon as I heard, you know, Kyrie's name attached, I quickly said, you know, let's not look at the messenger, because I think there's some legitimacy to the message. But at the end of the day, what we can't have happen is become so obsessed with what appears to be a fracturing of the unit that we forget about what's really happening in these streets. And that's what I'm committed to. I'm not trying to be obsessed over the motivation of Kyrie Irving or even Kyrie's floating up an idea of starting his own league. I think there's a conversation within that, but now is not the time to have that conversation at all.
LZ, this is what I would say. I would say I agree with you, but to me it is important to clarify about the messenger so that we can separate the two. Because if you don't clarify about them, then they get all muddled together. That's why I take the time to differentiate between the two schools of thought, to point out the one school of thought, all its flaws in it, so that when we move on to the actual conversation, we don't have to hear Kyrieism seep into that conversation. When we're talking about the people like Avery Bradley are talking about, there's no Kyrieisms that are polluting this conversation, because we've already established, we pointed out, like, that's that dude over there. We're not talking about him. We're talking about the guys who are legitimately have been thoughtful about this. And so when you talk about that, this is the part where I say, you know, I was kind of upset when I heard Stephen A. Smith kind of chastise and yell at guys about this. To me, if the players are educated about the risks involved, like if you do this, if you don't decide not to play as a group, as a block, basically making Orlando unplayable, this is what's going to happen. Now, if they understand those risks and say, you know what I mean, I get it, and I know billions of dollars are at stake here, not just now, but in the future, But my I can't go to sleep at night if I go out there and I feel like I'm a distraction to the nation. If that's how you feel, man, I have no place to sit here and argue that you need to give me my entertainment. That's their decision. They're making it as grown men. As long as they understand the risks involved, because my fear is people get emotional and they think, think about the repercussions.
Amin El-Hassan joining us here on the morning show. Amin, with that in mind, with the Avery Bradley portion of the discussion, do the Lakers have a potential problem because Avery Bradley is driving this, because Dwight Howard seems in interested at least in the possibility of maybe not during the bubble and not playing? Those are two Lakers. Do the Lakers, and I know they said they have time to figure things out, do they?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, you know, the conversation we're having is if we don't play games because as a union they say we're not going to play. That obviously is concerning to the Lakers because then we won't have a season. But if it comes down to Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard are so committed to this that they're willing to not play, and as Adam Silver said, if you choose not to play, it's not going to void your contract. You won't get paid for the games that you miss, but there will be no fines and there will be no kind of retribution, at least for players like Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard. You can go ahead and choose to do that. If that's the case, if it's just them two, for instance, that sit out, obviously that's not ideal for LA, but I also don't think those guys are deal breakers in terms of championship.
Amin El-Hassan, ESPN front office insider, joining us here on the morning show. Amin, as always, thanks a bunch.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's get into that, guys. Let's get into what it might mean for the Lakers specifically if they're missing a couple of those guys. If those guys do decide what Amin just said, you know what, I just can't in good conscience go do that, what would that mean for the Lakers? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.